Welcome everyone to back again another episode in the Active Action Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nazeef, back again another episode where we will discuss today a medical aspect, pain-free movement. Today we have a wonderful guest with us, but before introducing her to you, I just wanted to like really quickly take a moment to appreciate the opportunity that you have provided me to come in front of you every week and discuss a topic that will inspire you to stay active and take action. And that is our motto of the Active Action Podcast. And we really hope we can do that through every episode. I really also want to thank you to all my dear audiences for sticking up with us and having been so engaged. Like, we have seen your feedback. We constantly see like our social media numbers like going up and the views are going up as well, and really helpful. And we really feel supported when we see that. It really helps us, motivates me to create new content. Thank you so much for the support. And without further ado, I'll be introducing my guest. Good evening, Dana. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
And your audience, as I mentioned for today's podcast, our topic is pain-free movement. And we have today with us Dana Jones. She is a fitness coach and also the host of the Pain-Free Athlete podcast. Thank you so much, Dana, for your time and also for agreeing to share some words of wisdom with our audiences. I'm sure like they will take some valuable advice and inspiration from the conversation that we'll have today. Please introduce yourself to our audience.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dana Jones, and I'm a fitness coach and also podcast host. And I got into all of this. I've been an athlete all my life. And unfortunately, probably around this age of 8, I started suffering from migraines, and it just became a thing. Like, it was just a part of who I was, and it was annoying. And I, at the time, I had no idea what the cause was. Everybody had different ideas of, oh, you ate chocolate, or you had caffeine, or you did whatever the things are that you do. And so I would avoid a lot of things, but I just muscled through it. And it wasn't until probably my late 40s that I had a bad run where I went 15 months with a migraine every day. It was crazy, and I just didn't know what to do. And it was during COVID. And so I found Dr. Sarno's Mind Body Prescription book, and I read it. And then I realized that a lot of the pain that I have in my body originated from a lot of repressed emotions. And there's certain behavioral or personality characteristics for somebody who suffers from chronic pain. So as a result of that, I wouldn't say necessarily cured myself, but I pretty much cured about 95% of my chronic pain. And so I felt like I needed to come and tell other people about it. So that's why I started the podcast. And now I'm just getting out there, and I want other people to have the information, because nobody should wait 43 years to get healthy and pain-free. And there's other factors to why athletes suffer from pain, and I know a little something about it, so I thought I would share my story.
Thank you so much, Dana, for sharing that story. I can correlate, because I have several family members who actually did suffer from migraine and still are, and I know the pain of migraine is intense. There is, in plain language, no easy way to describe it. And I know, like, when a migraine attack happens, it's a very painful condition. The person going through it suffers a lot. And one thing I've seen, though, is this pain doesn't subside and it doesn't go away with time. It like stays, and it occurs randomly, but I haven't seen like that going away. And I know many people around the world, and my audiences as well, they have suffered pain in one way or other. So I am really glad that we are talking about this topic today. Maybe you can share some of your words of wisdom to how to reduce pain, or how to, or to take what actions to minimize that. So before delving into that topic more, I just wanted to talk to you a bit about the topic for today's podcast. What do you understand like pain-free movement, or how do you define that?
So pain-free movement, or at least my definition, is very different than what I talked about in terms of my chronic pain. So when you have a chronic pain condition, that's something that you definitely need to go to a doctor and make sure that you figure out what's going on and whether or not there's something that can be done. Usually when you know if it's a mind-body pain condition is when they say we've done all the tests and there's nothing there. And then you go, oh, okay. And then that's when you start doing the work. For those of you who are suffering from intermittent pain or pain based off of could be repetitive use or any of that thing, what I see as pain-free movement is that your body is moving in perfect alignment that is for you. Sometimes we'll go to a shoe store and they say, oh, you need this shoe for this, and oh, your knee is out and it should be facing forward. And you make these adjustments and then, of course, they create more pain because your body is used to moving how it needs to move. So everybody's knee tracks differently. Everybody's hips track differently. And it's whether or not it's actually causing you discomfort is the need for concern. You should have mobility and not just flexibility. As an athlete growing up, I had crazy flexibility. I could put my leg behind my head and all that kind of stuff. And it really wasn't about that because when I would get injured, pull a hamstring or something, I wasn't able to stretch out the hamstring or do the things for the hamstring at the time because I was so flexible that you're going to have to wrap my leg around my head for me to actually feel some relief in that muscle. And of course, now I understand that mobility is really about how joints move and whether or not they move within their plane of existence. Strength plays a part in being pain-free. And there are several guests that I've had that talked about strength training as the foundation for all athletic movement, and that without it, you're going to get hurt or you're not going to be able to perform to your potential. And then there's that mind-body piece that I always like to stick in is really about like how do you settle down? How do you come back to yourself? How do you care for yourself in a manner that allows you to be a complete athlete? What are the mental aspects of it? How are you tuning into your body? Are you worrying about overexertion? Do you feel there's just no, also a triathlete, and we have a tendency of being a little obsessive. And so mindfulness goes out the window when you're obsessive and you're like, I have to get this workout in and that kind of thing. Because when you're not doing those things, you're definitely increasing your risk for injury.
I wanted to touch a bit on a point that you mentioned, like, athletes, they do suffer or get injured, they suffer pain. From your experience, there is like a myth or there is understanding that if major like injury occurs or if a like major traumatic event occurs during performing the sport or athletics, that the career of the athlete actually like dies. Do you think that is true at all?
Repeat that last part again.
The career of the athlete like ends, it dies. That career is no longer, but do you feel that is accurate?
I don't know. People are funny. And it's really, I think it's hard for us to deal with injury. People don't, sometimes it becomes all, your entire existence. And right. Knowing how to make the transition is a challenge. You just have to probably put your faith in the right people to help support you through certain transitions. And it even comes down to, I know for me as an athlete, I was a college softball player. And when I graduated, that was a death. And that was really hard for me because all of a sudden I had to make this transition as Dana Jones, college softball player, to Dana Jones, like employee or whatever. And there's so many things that were part of my character. Like my days were so like hyper-scheduled. Right. Because I was told when to eat, when to work out, when to play, all those things. And then all of a sudden, all that structure was gone and I was left to my own devices. And that was really a hard time. So I think when athletes get injured, those things happen too, as well. Right. There's isolation, there's a depression, there's all not good things that occur on top of the fact that depending on the injury, there's medication that's involved that could be addictive. And there's also that urge to want to get back to it because you are feeling all those things and you don't want to lose your purpose.
I understand. Even for my sake of understanding, I really appreciate that perspective. it must be like really difficult for athletes to go through the transition or even just to think that I used to be one thing and the next day I'm not. It's just because, like, I know it's not completely like related to a topic, but I have been like following YouTuber who did a lot of stunts with road bikes. And I know like his career like stopped at a very early stage, I think when he was like around 25. And what would be like a very promising career. So I really got hurt seeing that. I want to ask you again, coming back to the topic, that why do you think pain-free movement is essential for an overall health?
I just feel like as a lot of people age, there's things that you can ignore. As a young person, you're like, oh, that my elbow hurts when I do this. And so I'll just ice it and it'll be okay. And if you go back to the core understanding of like strength training and mobility and all the stuff you need, that allows you to look differently. And the example I always have is my grandmother. And my grandmother was not very athletic. And I recall, and I was in my teens when she was probably in her 60s, I thought she was 90 years old because she just looked, she was stooped. She had no muscle. Like I remember one time, like I grabbed her arm to help her somewhere. And it's like, I could touch her bone because there was just no muscle density at all. And she just looked so old. And I'm almost to the age where my grandmother was, because I'm 55 I don't look like my grandmother. How does that help people overall? Is like one, longevity, right? You hear about Peter Attia and everybody talking about the things that you need to do to really be able to exist. And if you are being able to participate in things a lot longer, then that's going to keep your heart healthy. It's going to keep your bone density up. All the things that make you look incredibly old. And of course, overall, it's those people, because I think my grandmother was born in, I want to say 1911 or something like that, 1915, somewhere in there. And she lived a very hard life. And we haven't even talked about nutrition. I imagine her nutrition was not very good because she was a kid during the Depression. And so they got the food when they got the food, and vegetables were not available and all those things. So adding in the lifting and the being mindful about your movement and then adding in nutrition, I think is going to allow us to live a lot healthier and a lot longer than my poor grandmother. Although she did live until she was like 85. It's again, I don't know how well her life was because of the fact that she wasn't able to move the way that she wanted to move. And it was sad watching her.
While sharing the story, you touched a bit about age and pain. So I know, Dana, there is a myth regarding pain associated with age and also pain associated with doing exercise a lot. So I just want to talk to you about this myths a bit. So what is like your understanding about the myth of like being pain coming automatically when you age or when you do a lot of exercise or these kinds of things? Do you really think these are associated?
There's always, being an athlete, there's always the myths. And one of the crazy ones is, right, no pain, no gain, which is a bunch of bullshit. Excuse me, sorry. But it's, you should never push yourself beyond and to the point where it's causing you enough discomfort for you to have to prove something to anybody. But there's also, as I'm coaching older clients, I'm hearing these things that they're hearing from their doctors. Oh, the reason why your knee hurts is because you're bone on bone. Or the reason of this is happening is because you're getting old. Or so there's a lot of, I want to say, medical model myths that are pushed on people to have explanations for their pain. And like, I have a client that has no cartilage in their knee and they were in pain, but they started doing some exercises and the proper exercises to build up all the muscles surrounding it and the pain went away. And the reality is the most cartilage that you'll have in between your bones is when you're an infant because you haven't put any pressure on any of your joints. And then as we age, you're eventually going to get bone on bone because that's what happens. Cartilage wears away through movement. And as long as you're moving, then that's going to happen. Whether or not there's pain there is really up to you. And it's also up to the mindset, right? I want to say that pain is a real thing, right? And that's one of the things that in the chronic pain community, sometimes people will misinterpret and say, oh, when you say that pain is a mind-body condition, that you're saying it's in my head. And the reality is it's not in your head, because what your brain interprets, your body will feel. And right. So pain is very real. You can make yourself hurt. As just was, there was a study where they had two different people. The guy got put a nail through his boot, and he was screaming and freaking out because he thought he was going to die because of the nails in his boot. He gets to the ER, they pull off his shoe, and the nail, it went between his toes. But he just saw the vision of it, and he absolutely lost his mind. Now, we could say, oh, yeah, like, that's crazy. But he was feeling actual pain. The medical staff was responding to him as if he was somebody who was injured because he felt that pain. There's been other cases where people have done, it always seems to be around construction equipment, which I always think is interesting, where they've taken a nail gun to the head or whatever, and they experience no pain because they don't even know it's there. And it's not until somebody highlights that it's there that they're like, holy crap, that really hurt. Just, I think, understanding that there is this conception now that, or perception, that you have to experience pain because you're older or that it's just normal. And it's not. There are ways to reverse pain, and there are different programs out there. And again, you have to find the program that's for you. But there are strength programs that will help reduce and eliminate pain. Now, if you have a injury, a torn, whatever it is, some do require surgery, and that will relieve your pain. But you just, again, that's where that medical professional comes in, and you really should consult with your doctor and physical therapist and all the people that are on your care team.
An important thing I need to touch a bit on is you did talk about the connection of mind and body when it comes to pain. So can I just ask you, what do you think? How does the mind-body connection actually helps with pain?
Helps or enhances? And I, like, in my own personal experience, and that's all I can really give you because I'm not in those medical studies that are talking about this, is that when I was experiencing the most pain was when I was the most disconnected from my body. And that is really where everything is, that because when you start suffering from pain, there's this, you wanted to distance yourself and quit from regular conversation, right? You're like, oh, I have a headache, so I'm going to take some Advil because I want to continue doing what I'm doing and I want the pain in my head to go away. That's fine. But when you're getting down the line and it's something that's chronic or whatever, that detachment or the need for detachment really brings the pain to the forefront because you're like, I don't want to know that it's here. My toe doesn't hurt. My toe doesn't hurt. And the more you talk about your toe, that your toe hurts and you're with it. And when you start really diving into why something hurts or what's the reasoning behind it. And again, your toe could hurt because you kicked your dresser yesterday when you were barefoot. So of course your toe is going to hurt. But if your pain comes out of nowhere and it's there and it's getting your attention, now you need to think about what are things that are going on right now. So for instance, a lot of people will be at work and they'll notice if they have a stressful day, their back hurts. Great. Is it because you have a slipped disc or you have this or you have that? Or is it because you're stressed because you have a timeline and whatever? For me, a lot of it, like I said, was about that not really dealing with emotions. I was raised in the idea of to be seen and not heard kind of thing. So my opinion didn't matter for a lot of stuff, especially as a young child. Not that I'm saying that young children should be running free and doing stuff. I never had the ability to speak up for myself, or at least I thought I didn't have the ability. So then my response was to stuff it. And then I was in the military and you have people screaming in your face and you can't scream back, so you stuff it. And so that became a pattern for me, is to stuff my response to a lot of moments that could possibly anger me or make me sad or frustrated or any of those things. And so then it just became a default setting for me, is to stuff my stuff, essentially. And your body says, okay, we'll allow you to stuff that one. Okay, you could stuff that one. But after a while, it goes, we're over this. We only have the jar is pretty full. So we're going to give you something to get your attention. It's, oh, I'm going to give you knee pain. I'm going to give you hip pain. Okay, I'm going to make your head hurt. Oh, your head, you're not responding to head pain. So now we're going to add something else. And so then it starts to add up. And a lot of times when you're dealing with somebody who especially has chronic pain conditions, you'll notice that it's not one thing, that right. it's multiple things. And on top of it, to add in the mind-body piece, there's usually a personality type. And people who suffer from chronic pain are typically people that are type A personality. Those are your people pleasers. They really just want to do everything and want to control everything. And we can't control anything aside from your perception of events. And that creates a lot of frustration. And then frustration leads, unfortunately, to a lot of pain. So how do you reverse that? Is you start to ask yourself questions. And you start to do different things. I know meditation is very frustrating for a lot of people because they think that they have to sit in place and follow their breath and don't want to have monkey mind and all those mm-hmm. things. There's other ways to do meditation. You could do it walking meditations. You can do observations mm-hmm. of sounds in your room. There's all kinds of things. Or talk to your pain. My own personal thing was journaling. And we right. tease and we call it rage on the page. Mm-hmm. That was a good way because I found out that if I am mad at my boss and I write down a bunch of stuff about how I'm so angry and everything else, I'm able to get the frustration out. And then, of course, the resolution would come in a clear manner after I was able to get past the initial anger, frustration, or whatever I was feeling. So that's how, as an athlete, you need to deal with that. If you're trying to hit a shot and it's not working, then when you're getting frustrated and you're not seeing the result, then that's one way of sitting back and having, what am I feeling? Why is this result so important? Because a lot of times it's really not important, but you're just making it important at the time.
I really feel the mind and the body is like, indeed, like interconnected with pain. And it's like your perception of pain. And when you are in pain, like how would you like train your mind to bear that? And that is another thing, that how your body reacts to your mind. I think as humans, the pain is inevitable, it will come, but it's also important how we train our mind to bear with that. You also touched about beating out the frustrations and angers, and that is also a pain. Like frustration and anger is causing you pain. So how do you like get relieved of that? One good thing you mentioned, what you did was journaling. I feel journaling is also very effective. There are many other ways you can relieve your pain. An important bit is self-realization, to recognize how you can actually relieve the pain, what actually works for you. Think of that and really like to just try it out. It might be doing some exercises can help your mind taking off from things, doing some activities, some gardening, reading books, writing a journal, playing some games and videos. But whatever like you want to do and you can get that frustration or anger out, I think it's very important, because having a healthy mind doesn't hurt at all to relieve the pain. So I want to like ask you a bit about, can I share with my audience, what are the like signs of dysfunctional movement?
I think I'll give it that. So I have a client and I haven't seen her in a while. And so I was on Facebook one day and she fell, and mm-hmm. she posted about her that she fell and whatever. And I said, you need to come see me. And she's, oh, no, I'm hurt. I can't come see you. I said, oh, no, you need to come see me. And so she comes to see me and we sit down and we're talking about this. I said, tell me what happened. She goes to the sidewalk, did this and whatever. And I got, caught up in it. And then I just ended up falling, and she fell pretty good. Like she landed. It was like knees, hands, face, which is never a good fall.
No.
And so, of course, it was like, I'm older. I'm my mom, I'm falling and whatever. And I said, no, that's bunk. That's not true. And she said, what's going on? I said, and I had her do a few exercises. And I said, the reason why you fell is because your foot isn't moving and ankle mobility isn't there. And she's, what are you talking about? And I had her do an exercise and showed her that her ankle wasn't moving really at all. And she goes, I've had plantar fasciitis and whatever, and all this other stuff. And so we started to detect essentially like what was going on. And essentially what was happening was that her hip flexors were weak. And as a result of her hip flexors being weak, she wasn't lifting her knee when she was walking. And then with the lack of ankle mobility, she landed funny because the terrain changed. So she landed funny and then got caught and then fell down. And so we moved through all that and then gave her a few exercises, gave her some homework for doing water fitness and other things because she's not a huge fan of working out. That's one of the things is that you have to find activities that are fun for you and that allow you to get a workout, but don't feel like a workout because not everybody has time. But I think if it's something you enjoy, you make time for things that you enjoy. But that was an example of, you know, movement. You know, it came from her having plantar fasciitis. Now, doing all those exercises, the plantar fasciitis went away. And so now she's out and she's she was walking her dog and she wasn't walking her dog because she had the plantar fasciitis. So there was a lot of things that led to that dysfunction and it was culminating, right? All these different events that lead to this. Fortunately, she didn't get hurt too badly, but that's when people usually when somebody gets hurt is when they realize that something isn't working properly, right? Or you get injured. And it's a weird injury. It's never like a tear or something like that. It's always something that is more of a repetitive or a fall. I always remember Pete Egoscue talking about one of his clients, and Pete Egoscue is a movement specialist, and he's located in Southern California, San Diego area. And he had a client who came in because she broke her wrist. And he did the same thing. And he asked her, he said, how did you break your wrist? She said, there was a magazine on the floor. I didn't see it. And I stepped on it and I slipped and I fell and I braced myself and whatever. And so he talks about the idea that if she had actual core strength, meaning not abdominal strength, but core strength, meaning kneecaps to shoulders strength, she would have slipped and just slid a little bit, but then regained her balance. But because she did not have core strength, she ended up slipping and taking a hard fall. So that's where that dysfunction comes in is that's why you do all exercises. Like you look at the guys that go to the gym and sorry, it's mostly guys who are like, I'm going to bench, I'm going to squat, and then I'm going to deadlift and I'm going to lead. And they don't do anything else. And they get hurt as well because of the fact that they're not working on their core strength. They're not working on their twisting. They're not working on using your back, your spine, the way it's supposed to articulate, right? We hear, especially in lifting heavy, how the back needs to be tight and it needs to be flat for the movement. And you're putting inordinate strain on your lower back. And it's like our spine has vertebra for a reason. And it's because it's supposed to, you're supposed to use every one of those to make movement. And so that's why you are supposed to do exercises that work all the way up your back. And again, having that strength will allow you to avoid silly things like falling or not that they're silly, but you know what I'm saying? Something that's preventable is probably something.
Thank you so much for that answer, Dana. And dysfunctional movement, I can resonate because I had like one of my friends who used to go to the gym and do a very set pieces of exercise, mostly like deadlifting, weightlifting, that kind of thing. But it actually led to devastating consequences for him later on. But we need to understand and recognize like where thing is occurring, what habit of us triggering. It's very important that how we lead our life, what type of trainings or what type of exercise we do, how our lifestyle is. But we have to be really mindful and cognizant of those. Can I ask you to share some practical strategies for pain-free movement?
Ankle turns.
That's interesting.
So, all of our movement starts at our base and your feet and having that mobility. My client wouldn't have fallen if she had that mobility in her ankles. And so something simple that people can do is ankle turns. Turn to the left, turn to the right, point and flex. That is something you could do while you're watching TV. You could do it as part of your warm up for your workout, that kind of stuff. Obviously, all core work. So things where you're twisting and moving and definitely not with planted feet, right? So you're, as you're twisting, your hips are moving with you so that you don't create other issues. Mm-hmm. And then just making sure that the movements that you're doing are within your, the structural range. So for instance, like a lot of people will do shoulder presses and they'll do it in a military press manner, meaning that their hands are behind their shoulders and they push up. And when you're getting up, when you're about to straighten up your elbows, you're pushing the bounds of your, the capsule in which your shoulder's in. And making sure the movement stays within your range and you feel comfortable, right? Anytime you feel a strain or something like that, you never want to do that. So it's like looking at that stuff. Ben Patrick and his pain-free movement stuff is great. I don't even know why I can't remember his stuff, right? It's ATG. One of the biggest things that I have my clients do as a result of some of the stuff he has is walking backwards. Because that really works on ankle mobility and that stability that your body needs to keep you going. And so that's something that I've implemented. But those are a couple of things. But if you're not doing Pilates or yoga, you need to at least one day a week, make sure you implement that into your program. Again, if you're somebody who's into water, you know, wanting water fitness is a great activity to do. You may want to, you know, complain, oh, I don't want to be out there with all those little ladies bobbing up and down. But I will tell you, they all have core. And you'll find out real fast when you're in that water if you have core, because you may have ground core, but there's nothing like doing a crunch in the water and not drowning. Those are the kind of things that you'll find out really fast. Water is the great equalizer for a lot of activities. And those are some of the things that you could do. But really, at its core, like what you need to do is definitely keep your joints mobile and working within their range, doing something that you enjoy and making sure that it's something that you're willing to come back to so that you don't get bored and give it up. Right. And just stay active. Go for a walk, do the things, find friends to go do stuff with so that you're more apt to move.
I really appreciate, Dana, you sharing those very practical strategies for pain-free movement. Can I take this opportunity to ask you another follow-up question? We know like when someone is like suffering from pain, they need to like, many actually struggle to recover from that. But can I just ask you for the benefit of my audiences again to share some active recovery tips from your experience?
Sure. I've had post-surgical clients that have come in, and a lot of times they are just like, I'm in a cast, I can't come. And I was like, of course you can, because you could sit in a chair and you can do things. And the number one benefit to any body when you're recovering is to actually move. And if you're in a chair and you're lifting weights or doing whatever you need to do, you could still do that, right? There's chair yoga, there's all that kind of stuff. But I think in the past, our recovery idea was I had surgery, and I'll use myself as an example. I had knee surgery and my doctor said, okay, you're at a commission for however long, 6 weeks it takes to fix it and go home and lay down. And so I, at the time, thank goodness I was a college athlete, so I was a little bit more in tune with what was going on. I started doing isometric exercises and specifically holds. So yes, my knee was immobilized, but I'm squeezing my thigh and I'm continuing to build strength, because the reality is that when a scalpel touches your skin, your muscles will atrophy. Like instantly, you'll see it. Somebody who's had knee surgery, you'll look at them and the non-surgical leg will be a certain size. And then the surgical leg will just be probably an inch or two smaller just because of the actual activity of having that surgery. And so the way that you can do that is, one, you should, if you're having a surgery, you should probably study. And what I mean is that you do exercises beforehand to get everything strong of surrounding the area that you're getting operated on. So if you're doing a knee surgery, you're going to be doing push-ups, you're going to be doing all the stuff, because if you're going to be on crutches, you need to be able to be strong. You're doing your ab exercises, you're making sure your other leg is working. And even the surgical leg, you can do leg lifts, you can do isometric exercises. There's little things that you can do to study. And then post-surgical, the isometric is the easiest thing. Now, thank goodness, we're a lot smarter. So now, like when you have a surgery, they're having you walk, right? Think about it. You know, if you've gone for a family member who's had surgery, they're like, have you done your lap today? Because we know that blood flow encourages healing and they're getting better surgical outcomes from people moving and not just laying there immobile for whatever period of time it is. Getting out and walking. If it's something lower leg where it's a severe injury, like I have a friend who he plays football, one of the players fell back on him and tore all the ligaments in his knee, but he can use a hand cycle to make sure, you know, that the upper body is still moving and still getting a little cardio workout while he's waiting for that leg to recover. So the biggest thing is that when you're doing something, move it as much as you can, just because you're going to get all those good blood cells heading in the right direction and allow you to get back at it a lot faster.
I would ask my dear audience, if you do have any questions for our guest today, Dana Jones, or you to know a bit more about our guest, you can do that by going to our website, activeaction.fm. And there is a webpage dedicated to Dana Jones. I put up the link in the video. It's activeaction.fm/person/Dana-Jones. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask Dana. And also, don't forget to tune into our podcast as well. So just moving on to that, Dana, I wanted to ask you a bit, what do you actually discuss in the Pain-Free Athlete podcast, if you can let our audiences know?
I have a fun time. I love hosting podcasts. I love talking to people. Bring in nutrition experts. I bring in athletes who have recovered from chronic pain. I had a hypnotherapist on there, and we talked about how that mind-body piece is good for certain circumstances for people who are struggling with either chronic pain or even in athletic performance. I had a mind coach that worked with athletes. I just try to find people that I'm hearing from my audience that they're interested in hearing about. Right now, the focus is a lot on nutrition because it's that time of year. We're in January and people really want to change their eating habits and get ready for the spring. And so I just had a guest on that talked about functional nutrition in terms of how it deals with athletic performance. So I really have the opportunity to talk to a lot of different people, and I'm truly grateful for that because I'm learning a lot. And unfortunately, I didn't have this information when I first started to get into athletics, and my nutrition was crap. And I'm sure that had a lot to do. My performance was definitely affected by it. And so if you're an athlete and you want to learn how to create longevity in your athletic career, it's always good to look around and listen to experts talk about what they know.
I really appreciate your time for today and for sharing your very wonderful words of wisdom with my audiences and inspiring them to stay active and take action. And if you have any last suggestions or last words per se for the audiences of my book.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate your time. And like I said, I love talking to people. And always, you just got to keep moving.
Dear listeners, we were talking to our wonderful guest, Dana Jones, this evening. I really hope you gained some very useful tips and perspective and also got to learn a bit about pain-free movement. She really did indeed came across some very good points regarding strength training, active recovery tips. So I really encourage you, even if you're a potential athlete or if you're looking for fitness-related tips, to visit her podcast, the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast. And again, once again, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I would really appreciate if you could kindly leave a review or rate our podcast in Spotify or Amazon Music or the Apple Podcast. And also, if you do find value to our podcast, I really would really appreciate your kind support. You can provide support to us by going to our website and donating in www.activeaction.fm/donate. Any generous support really helps me to create new episodes and just keep this production get rolling. But I really appreciate your time, and I hope that we will be meeting you in the next episode next week with another wonderful guest. Take care, and I urge you to everyone to take action and stay active at this time.